Good morning, church family. It's so good to greet you once again. I pray that you're all doing well. It's just a joy to be able to serve you, and it's just a joy to be able to continue to pray for each other. And we're just so excited for all that God's doing in each one of our lives. This morning, just want to go over some of the things that God has been doing. And if you didn't notice yet, in the weekly update, we had an update on Don Moyer, and he's just doing really, really well. And that's an answer to prayer. Thank God for all he's been doing for Don and Marge in their lives. And you probably saw some of the needs. We need to be praying for Richard and Rhonda Hillary, with Richard's dad passing away. And we need to continue to pray for Steve Amos and the infection. Lord willing, will be away by when we are talking at this point, but he on Thursday is seeing the specialist, and just be praying for this family, and thank God for the hand of protection he had on Steve's life. And we need to be praying for our country as well. So before we do announcements and read scripture, I just thought it's very appropriate. Let's just go to prayer and seek the Lord for some of these needs, and we'll just trust in him to answer them. Thank you, Father, just for who you are. You know our country's gone through a lot with this virus, and now with the racial with the riots and all that going on with this gentleman that was killed. Father, we need a touch. We need a revival in this country, and so I just pray you would do your work. May we be sensitive to one another and show love. And it's not just one. We need to care for each other. And I just pray you would do your work. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in our church family. Thank you for your hand of protection upon Steve. And we just pray for that complete healing with this infection that he has, Lord, in his leg. We continue to pray for Don and Marge. Thank you for how well Don is doing. That's just an answer to prayer. So we just give you praise for that, Father. It's all in your hands. The doctors are just so amazed. You know, you protected him, and it could have been a total different outcome. So we just thank you and give you the praise for that. Thank you, too, that the Schaefers are home. We are praying for Candy, who needs that one connection yet. From Detroit, Father, we just pray you would work that out as well. And we pray for Bruce and Steph, Father, as they would still like to come home, and that you would open up the airports and provide a way for them to come home from where they're at. We do pray for our IIWs and the one couple who are headed back real soon, Father. And they have some needs with their fund, and I just pray you would meet those needs and help them as they say goodbye to family and friends. And we pray for their ministry, Father, as they head there to a hard place in the world, but a place that needs to hear about Jesus. We pray you would use them mightily for your glory. And so we thank you for all that you're doing. And thank you for this morning that we can come together as the body of Christ to worship you. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture today is found in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 13. If you want to open up your Bibles, so it's John chapter 14, verses 1 to 13. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Just a couple other announcements, and once again, drawing your attention to the weekly update. The Governing Board's meeting this Tuesday, and please be praying for them as we discuss about Carlisle Alliance Church reopening and what that will be looking like and dates coming up. Also, continue to pray for the search team. I know they would appreciate that as they're having interviews with different candidates as well. We're excited for Pastor Randy to come and share once again. And our prayer is that God would use him mightily this morning. Let's pray for him once more. Father, thank you for Pastor Randy. And we pray for him this morning as he comes and shares. We pray for your fresh anointing of Holy Spirit to come upon him. Use his words to touch our lives. Father, may we hear from you through this dear brother. So thank you for all you're going to do this morning in each one of our lives. And we give you the praise for who you are and just how awesome you are. And we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Doug. It is a joy to be with you this morning and have you connect with us. I am looking forward to the day that we can all be together. It's a little bit artificial and sterile for Pastor Doug and me to be ministering here to empty pews. Because we love you and we miss you, and we're looking forward to that time that we can connect with you. And maybe you're like me, your hair's still growing. I'm sure that when we move to green and the hair salons and barbershops open, there's going to be long, long lines, and I will be first in line. Well, this morning we're going to look once again at the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is working with his disciples and orienting them as to following him and what that looks like. They're embarking on a particular enterprise, and the first part of that means their own deepening in Jesus and understanding of what Jesus, the kingdom of God, is like. So that's what we find here in the beginning of chapter 5 as we look at the what's commonly known as the Beatitudes. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to God's people. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And this was the teaching: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your rich ministry. Your rich ministry of illumination and teaching and understanding. So, Lord, we would ask, O Spirit of God, that you would instruct us, anoint your messenger, anoint your listeners, that we might be moving closer to looking more and more like our Savior Jesus. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. So already we have seen that Jesus has given a good instruction to his disciples that required further explanation as time went on. He told them, first of all, you must get poor. You must push everything out of your life that has been peripheral and has clouded any relationship with me. Secondly, you must get sad. You must get sad over sin in your life. You cannot allow it to accumulate. You must keep short accounts, and you must get sad and even hateful with regard to sin that comes into your life. Then he said, get gentle. Become a meek person, which is strength under control. And live sensitive to others. Today we come to another one in which he says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Pastor Tom was working very hard not to panic. Pastor Tom loved scuba diving, thanks to one of his parishioners who introduced him to it. He was engaging in a deep dive that he needed for his certification. When he was at the very depths, suddenly he noticed that no oxygen was coming to him. He reached around to the valve and the regulator and worked on it, but nothing was happening. His lungs was beginning to tell him they wanted oxygen. His natural instinct was to shoot up to the top of the surface as soon as he could, but he knew from his training and what had been taught that he had to move only at various intervals, stopping to allow his body and the pressure within him to adjust. He wondered, could I really make it to the top? He felt he was dying as he was going through the process. And then he reached the top. And when he burst out of the water, he said, I took the biggest gulp of oxygen I've ever had in my life. It was so delicious, so sweet, so filling. I just felt I could not get enough of it. And then Pastor Tom turned to me and said, you know, at that moment it came to me, why can I not be that desperate for Jesus in my life? Why can I not have that deep, deep craving for all that I can get of Jesus in my life? The text says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. I honestly like the King James Version better, that says, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Because we are talking about a running, a sprinting after righteousness, not just a casual moving along after righteousness, but a serious, focused, intentional running after righteousness. The setting for this particular section of Scripture was in ancient times, as you well know. And in ancient times, food was not as available as it is today. And the wages were so small that we are told that the people of that time had meat very rarely, maybe at very most once a week. And their cupboards were barely filled with the food of what they needed. And water was not as available as we have today. We just go to our faucet and turn it on. But water was not as available to them. So Jesus, when he's talking about hunger and thirst, they knew in their mind that he was not talking about a gentle twinge that could be satisfied by some particular mid-morning snack or a cup of coffee. It was a serious hungering and thirsting. We see that kind of hungering and thirsting reflected in Psalm 42. When we read about the deer that is panting at the living streams of water, that is panting for that. Or Psalm 63 that says, my soul thirsts in a dry and weary land, a real craving. So this is what Jesus is calling the disciples to, and it's what he calls us to as well. He yearns for us to have a deep hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, what do we mean by righteousness? Righteousness means God-likeness. It means God's presence. It means the truth of God's word. It means integrity. It means obedience. But it all can be summed up in one word, and that's the name Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 indicates that Jesus is righteousness. So the real call here for us, as well as for those first followers, is that we would run after Jesus. Again, not just a casual walking, but we would run, desperately hunger, desperately thirst after Jesus himself. So this morning, let's look at some particular aspects of that. First of all, let's ask the question, so how do we get that appetite? How do we get such a deep craving, hunger, and thirst? Some of us may be saying, you know, I would like to have that, but honestly, being transparent, I just kind of have a lukewarm kind of attitude from time to time. And it comes and goes, this idea of wanting to have a hunger and thirst. So let's just talk about this for a brief time. First of all, physical hunger, soul hunger is not something that can be forced on us. No book, no video series, no preacher can really get you and me to have a hunger that we're talking about here in Scripture that's really craving and running after Jesus. We just can't do that on our own. So we have to put some things in place because it's not going to naturally occur. Robert Murray McShane, a Scottish preacher, said that this begins by us seeking God, praying for the ministry of the Spirit to give us this quickening in our spirit, and praying that he will alert us and sharpen us and sensitize us to this, that we might have a real desire for Jesus completely in our life. Not compartmentalized, not just identifying him at certain times of the day or week, but that he would be fully integrated in our life, that we would get a vision for that. And then we would recognize that maybe there are some reasons that that's not flowing in our life. Maybe there are some blockages that's keeping us from experiencing that. When I was growing up, I would frequently go to my grandmother's house, and beside her house was a small stream that would go through. And my brother and I would love to play in that stream. We would just have a good time doing various things, trying to make boats, different things. But occasionally we would go to our grandmother's house, and the stream was almost completely dried up, and we couldn't figure out why. So we would walk up the stream, into the woods, into the hollow to figure out what was going on, and then we would find the problem. Leaves had gathered, debris had gathered, and was blocking the stream from coming down. Sometimes that's true of your life and my life, because we go through life and get other focused. There are things in our life that come and cloud our life, whether it's sin or whether it's other areas of focus, other interests, worldly activities, hobbies, interests of various kinds, and it blocks us from experiencing this hunger and thirst for righteousness, for Jesus. So we investigate that. We go upstream and we look at our life and we clear that up and we seek God's help to rid ourselves of that. We then move to focusing on reading and studying God's Word, that God would give to us an interest in His Word. Maybe you've discovered what a lot of people have discovered. If we don't read God's Word regularly, we kind of lose our taste for it. Some of you may have engaged in some fasting or long-term fasting. And when we engage in fasting or long-term fasting, the first hours and the first day are very difficult. But the longer we're away from food, the less draw we have to food. It gets almost easier in a sense. Well, in a negative way, that's what happens to us when we stay away from God's Word. We skip it today and we skip it tomorrow. And the third day comes and we just don't have the draw for it anymore. So if we want to experience this quickening, this raging, ravaging hunger for God, for Jesus Himself, we've got to give ourselves to God's Word. That means we read it with our mind. We read it seeking to understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But then also we do what I call heart reading, so that when we read it as if God is speaking directly to us. As we read, we say, "Oh God, Holy Spirit of God, please instruct me. What do you want me to see and learn? What do you want to talk to me about?" And we may even take notes. We may write it down on cards so we can remember it. So as we go through the day, we can reflect on it. Another way to quicken this whole area of soul hunger and thirst in our life is by exposing ourselves to good Christian material that we read, Christian biographies, books that stir us in a particular area and take us to an understanding, a deeper understanding of our walk with God. Those practices or watching videos of various kinds, they help us be sensitized and cause us to want more in the process so that we can do that. And then finally, another way that we can gain some help in quickening is simply being with other believers. I'm sorry to say that I come across more people than I want to who tell me, "I don't really need church. I know God. I've accepted Jesus into my life. I've done that. And so, and I have the Bible. I can read it. I don't really need church." Well, besides not obeying the scripture that says, "Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves," those brothers and sisters are missing a whole dimension that we gain from being with other believers. And this, by the way, is what I miss and you miss too, I'm sure, during this time of not being able to be with other believers. Because as I'm with other believers, you're with other believers, I get different perspectives about Jesus and about God's Word that I don't get just myself. As I hear people give a testimony or I hear their idea in a small group or discussion group, I hear that particular nuance. I hadn't thought of that before, and I benefit from that. So being in a small group, getting in some kind of discussion group where there's interaction, where we can talk to other people, all of that makes us hungry and thirsty for God. Testimonies, when I've heard people, so many times I've heard people give a testimony and I think, wow, that makes me want to run to Jesus. So these are some ways in which we can get a quickening of the appetite so that we can move forward in a serious way and not haphazard and not occasional. Jesus says to his followers, his disciples, I want you part of my team. And as a team member, I want you to be constantly, progressively, continuously hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, I am righteousness, Jesus himself. Well, the second point I want to make this morning is the call to engaging and partaking and eating and drinking of the nourishment that God gives to us. And the nourishment he gives to us is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything flows from the cross. And this is another example of flowing from the cross. Because when we are on this journey, we do get ourselves tattered and we do get ourselves dusty in our heart. And so we need to run to the cross on a regular basis and put ourselves out and ask the Lord Jesus, who died on that cross, who became our Redeemer, who shed his blood, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and we might be daily cleansed. That we don't take this for granted, but that we experience daily forgiveness of sins because of what he's done. And then because of the cross, we experience also the opportunity for this growth in Jesus, this sanctifying work, and his presence in our life. And then, thirdly, we can enjoy all the abundance that we have. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. This conjures up a couple of images. It conjures up an image of a beautiful, lush, green meadow with cattle just outside the gate. And we open the gate and we say to the cattle, "It's all yours. I welcome you. It's all yours. You come and eat to your heart's content." Or the image of a beggar who has not eaten in weeks or months, many things substantial, and we bring him into the king's palace and open the door to the banquet room. And there ahead is a huge table filled with all kinds of wonderful meats and foods of various kinds and delicacies overflowing. And we say to this beggar, "It's all yours. Eat as much as you want. Take whatever you want. It's all yours. And apply it to your appetite and to your life." This is what we have available to us. Because Jesus offers you and me this kind of banquet table, that we can have comfort in the midst of hurt. We can have direction in the midst of confusion about life. We can have guidance when we're not sure about particular areas. We can find strength that we need when we are weak and weary. All that we need in life, and protection. So we have his provision. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have it all for us. Mike Brumbach, who is an author, speaking often and writing about Song of Solomon, talks about the concept of love sickness. And he defines love sickness as seen in one of the characters in Song of Solomon, that love sickness is being satisfied with and fulfilled in what he or she has, but at the same time wanting more. So with Jesus, we are satisfied. He fills us, but at the same time wanting and being able to have more. It never ends. He never says, "Okay, that's it. You've got it all." No, there's constantly more opportunities, more delicacies to discover, more help to find in our journey. He is all I need. All you need. Kind of reminds me, Linda makes a tremendous pecan chocolate chip pie. Now, regrettably, she makes it only once or twice a year. In my thinking, she ought to make it every week. But that is such it's a tremendous dessert. And when I eat it, I thoroughly enjoy it. But I'm looking forward to the next piece I get to have. Always looking for more that I get to have. Well, Jesus is something like that. Because he fills us. But there's more. He has so much more for all of us in the process. Blessed are they that do hunger. It's a progressive, continuous sense. Who are constantly hungering and thirsting after Jesus. For they will be filled. Linda and I live right across the street from a park. And we have a view of the park. It's a wonderful park. We're glad we're situated there with that park. And occasionally when I look over there, I see two different kinds of people. I see runners and I see strollers. The runners are very determined. They know where they're going and they have a goal in mind, and that is to stay healthy or get healthy and to usually probably lose some pounds too. The strollers, though, they're just going half-heartedly. Oh, they probably tell their spouse, oh, I did a good thing, I went for a walk today, but they aren't really serious about it at all. So I simply ask myself and you as well, are we runners or are we strollers? Are we runners for righteousness, for Jesus, and experiencing all that he has for us, or are we only strollers, picking up here and there where we go, because our eyes and hearts may be in other places? All the call is that we would be continuously hungry and thirsty for Jesus. For when we eat of him, we will be satisfied, we will be filled, but at the same time, will have a desire for even more and more of him. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters, for all of us who are on journey, that if for some reason we have gotten off path, you would by your Spirit call us back. That if we are off path, we would be disturbed about that. And we would desire to create by your Spirit a fresh hunger and thirst for righteousness that would drive us to be runners rather than strollers. We ask, Lord, that you would move us in the right direction. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. It's been a joy to communicate with you today. And I trust as you go through this week, you will join me in this hard hunger to be runners after righteousness. God bless you and have a wonderful week.